This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch, your source for what's happening here in our nation's capital. Coming up, the President and the Pope meet in Rome. Religious persecution reportedly tops their discussion list. We'll talk about it with Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss in just a few moments. Also, in the wake of the terrorist attack in England that has claimed almost two dozen lives and wounded scores of others, liberals are responding in predictable fashion. Katy Perry tweeted, "No barriers, no borders. We all just need to coexist." Well, one Texas sheriff is warning that such politically correct nonsense is what has led to such attacks. Sheriff Tracy Murphy joins me later here on Washington Watch. And FRC's Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing begins tonight. Two of our state leaders, Dr. Mark Harris of North Carolina and Dr. Steve Branson of Texas, will join me a little later. We just returned from Capitol Hill from a meeting with the House Speaker. We'll talk about that and other items here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, you can find it all later. Everything's archived there at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. By the way, especially you pastors, if you weren't able to make it, if you're not here, you probably did make it to the Watchman on the Wall briefing, which starts in just a couple of hours, goes through Friday at lunch. Great lineup of speakers. It'll be wrapped up Friday afternoon with Dr. Tony Evans, along with our own General Jerry Boykin, and of course, a number of members of Congress and others that will be a part of it. I'll get the list here in just a moment. But we'll be webcasting this, so you can actually see it. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can find the link so that if you can't be here, you can still be a part of it by watching it online. Dr. James Robinson will be receiving our Watchman on the Wall Award next year for this year, tomorrow night. So anyway, you can see all of that. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. All right, a couple of news items here as we're waiting. They just called votes. This is what happens when the this time of day, this is generally when the House votes. And so, hold on just a second. I'm getting a text from the member of Congress saying he needs the number to call in. So if we get that number to Congressman Heiss, he'll give us a call. So they just stepped on the floor for votes, and we'll get that number to Congressman Heiss, and he'll give us a call. And meanwhile, you heard the NBA commissioner Adam Silver saying that Charlotte will be the place for the 2019 All-Star NBA All-Star game. You know, of course, you know, if you listen to this program, I am not a big sports fan. And this was all just the professional sports, and several of these corporations were simply on strings, like puppets, of the Human Rights Council, Human Rights Commission, the HRC, the gay group. And I know they're furious because in the end, they lost. The state of North Carolina kept a version of HB 2, which still protects women and children in bathrooms and does not allow these local cities like Charlotte to adopt these ordinances that would punish businesses for not allowing men in women's bathrooms. Texas still fighting that battle down there is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick taking a stand for the privacy of women and children in Texas. You know, somebody just needs to tell these people to take a hike. You know, this is a part of that political correctness. I'm looking forward to talking to the sheriff when he's talking about the political correctness of the fear of saying there is a threat from Islamic radicals and that we can't keep people who want to kill us out. Well, you know, the same thing is true. Being afraid to say what we know is evident. And this idea that gender is fluid, that you can declare whatever gender you are and force that on everybody else, it's just nonsense. And so anyway, all right, we have Congressman Jody Heiss has now joined us. Congressman Heiss, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you, Tony. I apologize for the delay.
But no, I know. I know you guys got votes going on. Look,
yes.
I know you have been a pastor for a number of years. You recently elected to Congress, a part of the Freedom Caucus, also a member of the International Religious Freedom Caucus on Capitol Hill. And I want to talk for just a moment today, earlier today, really early our time. The president met with the Pope in Rome. While their private meeting for about 30 minutes in the Pope's study, there's no transcript of what was said. It hasn't been leaked yet. But the Vatican press and those traveling with the president said religious liberty topped the list of discussion, in particular the issue of the persecution of Christians. What do you make of the president's meeting with the Pope?
You know, Tony, I could not be more proud and excited about what's going on. I think the president's now in day five of this trip, and I think he's showing great strength in reestablishing America's presence in the world. But as it relates specifically to the religious persecution, I mean, we all know that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world right now. And particularly in that part of the world, the word is about one out of every 12 Christians around the world, but specifically in the Middle East. I mean, they're facing high levels of persecution. And for the president to be so vocal when we have just come through 8 years of a president who has been so silent, this is so refreshing. I could not be more excited and more proud for how the president is standing.
And I think the world leaders, including the Pope, has to hear what this president is saying when he talks about a concern for religious freedom worldwide, that he's not speaking with a forked tongue or out of both sides of his mouth, because he is respecting religious freedom here at home as well, which is something we did not see in the last administration. In fact, we saw the opposite.
Great point. And, yeah, I mean, just with the executive order that was signed last week and his commitment to things like the Johnson Amendment that he talks about on a regular basis, this president has religious liberties close to his heart, and he is standing for it both at home and abroad. And just when he talked to the Turkish president, mentioned Andrew Brunson, how many times just the other day, the pastor who's being held there. He's putting his money where his mouth is, so to speak, and he's making it count. He's making a definite, bold stand for religious liberties.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, my guest. All right, now the president has gone on to Brussels for a meeting of NATO. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says one of the issues that is going to be addressed is the president is going to be pushing NATO to pay their fair share. But also, I have to imagine that what happened in England, in Manchester, is going to impact these meetings.
No question that it will. And I think this is another opportunity that the president has to show not only personal strength, but reestablishing America's strength and America's presence. We are all in an enormous fight against extremism and terrorism. And what happened in Manchester is on the hearts of everyone in the world who's paying attention. And, you know, from that perspective, this is an ideal time for the president to take a bold stand and to unify the various countries to say this is a time for us to come together and to do business with a common enemy. And I expect him to do just that, and I think we're going to see a great unified effort globally to deal with the ISIS-controlled territories and terrorism as a whole.
Now, Congressman Heiss, I just came off the Hill as you guys were heading into to have the series of votes that you were just having, and I know just as I was coming back, the CBO score was released on the Obamacare repeal and replace. And folks, that's the Congressional Budget Office. They can basically gauge or grade what the budgetary impact will be. I don't know. Have you had a chance to see that yet?
Yeah, just very briefly. And Tony, just like what you were talking about, we were on the floor and glancing through some information. But yeah, you know, overall, it's good news. We're going to be able to pass this thing on to the Senate with ample room budgetarily, and so the reconciliation process is going to go through. You know, I guess all of us have some questions with CBO. They, of course, have been wildly wrong in the past, and, you know, all they're giving is a prediction, and, you know, they predicted that there would be twice as many people get on Obamacare as what happened. Just as an example on the health care issue. But, yeah, it's good news. This thing is moving forward. We're going to be able to proceed with reconciliation in the Senate, which just requires 51 votes. So all systems are go.
Yeah. Folks, the issue there is that there has to be a budgetary impact on through this bill. And in fact, that's what the CBO shows. But as Congressman Heiss was making reference to, they predict that this is going to throw so many people off of insurance and so on and so forth. And their numbers have been all over the map historically when they predict these types of things. So, you know, once we get the green light, we can go forward because it does have the appropriate budgetary impact. But the, you know, it really comes back to how do we want our healthcare system to work? Do we want it to be more of a free market, patient-centered system, or do we want the government and bureaucrats dictating what people do?
Exactly, and this is what the battleground is all about. And, you know, we believe that government really shouldn't be in the healthcare business. Of course, Obamacare put us there, so now we're trying to pull back as much as we can. And this reconciliation bill is the first step to being able to get government out of it and give a lot more authority to the individual states and so forth. I mean, your listeners have been staying on top of this, I'm sure, but this is step one. You know, ultimate goal, Tony, is still to get rid of Obamacare completely, total repeal.
Right.
That battle is still going to be going on, but this is an enormous step forward in the right direction, and I'm just very grateful that the CBO score did come out favorably, as we all anticipated, but now it's official. And, you know, it's great to be able to go forward seeing Obamacare go. What a disaster it's been. I mean, people's premium rates have doubled just in the last several years.
Right.
And it's time to turn this monstrosity around.
Congressman Heiss, 30 seconds, and we're up against a break, but the Senate is pledging to make significant changes. What are non-starters? What in the bill, if they change, makes it dead on arrival back in the House?
You know, that's a great question, Tony, that I really don't know that I can answer because it's all hypothetical and just speculation at this point. You know, there are enough conservatives in the Senate that I'm comfortable and confident that they're not going to put any poison pills in this thing. So we're going to see from that perspective. Hopefully it'll just be some minor tweaks here and there that we'll all be able to live with.
All right. Congressman Jody Heiss, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony. Always an honor.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. He's going to be at our pastor's conference as well.
Well,
here, let me tell you what I think makes it dead on arrival. If the funding for Planned Parenthood is reinstated, because right now it defunds Planned Parenthood, $500 million, if that goes back in, I'm going to tell you, it'll die in the House. Or if they take out the Hyde language, that is the protections to keep taxpayers from having to fund abortion. If that goes, the bill's dead. All right, coming up next, the Denton County Sheriff in Texas is mostly being praised, except for a few detractors. We'll talk with him about what's got people so stirred up when we return.
When you think of hot-button issues, what comes to your mind? For most of America's history, religious liberty was fairly uncontroversial. Not anymore. What happened? I'm Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council. Religious liberty is now a heated issue, right alongside topics like abortion and sexual identity. It's often placed in quote marks in news stories, as if there's more going on than really meets the eye. But what does religious liberty really mean, and why is it so controversial? The public discussion of what was once a tame topic is now a point of sharp division. How did we reach this point? A new FRC brochure entitled Religious Liberty, An Introduction to Our Freedom to Believe, simplifies this complex issue in an easy-to-read format. Discover the true meaning of religious liberty, who is affected by it, why it's being infringed, why you should care, and what you can do about it. You will find answers to these common questions at frc.org/religious liberty.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345. And our website is afafoundation.net.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. The church is in free fall, as evidenced by all the research and the visible proof that plays out on our television screens every day, day after day. Just when you think it can't be any worse, the next lunacy or atrocity occurs that exceeds all those that have gone before, to the point that you almost become numb to its rhetoric and destruction of morality because there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, but there is! While it may be true that you can't change the world, you can change your world by leading everyone you influence one person at a time closer to Jesus. And that one thing will transform your life and your outlook by injecting God's purpose into everything you do. You have the ability to ignite your life and America with revival. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everybody you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, as the news was breaking of the terrorist attack at the Manchester Arena in northern England on Monday night in Texas, Denton County Sheriff Tracy Murphy captured attention of concerned citizens literally across the nation after he took to Facebook issuing a warning. Now, in his warning, he put up on Facebook part of his post, quote, "You better wake up, America. While you are distracted by the media and the crying of the left, Islamic jihadists are among us and want to kill you. What will it take? This happening at a concert in Dallas or a school in Denton, Texas," he asked. "If we don't do something quick, this country will die of political correctness in the fear that someone's feelings may be hurt. It may very well be too late for Europe," end quote. Well, as you can imagine, the liberal media has gone crazy. The Council for American Islamic Relations, CARE, also responded, calling it Islamophobic. So anyway, this is a sheriff warning people in his community and across America that political correctness will kill us. Do we have the sheriff yet? I think we're trying to connect him. All right, well, we'll wait till we get the sheriff. This is insanity, okay? When we're afraid to say what we know to be true out of fear that someone will, you know, they'll say bad things about us. They won't like us. Gary Bauer, who is my predecessor here, he wrote today regarding this. He said, "And while Islamic supremacist websites are celebrating the attack, left-wing sites are warning the rest of us against Islamophobia. As you know, phobia means an irrational fear of something. Well, how many more Islamic terrorist attacks have to take place, how many more innocent people have to die before the left no longer considers our concern to be irrational?" he asked. Think about it. We're fearful. We're not fearful. We're not afraid of we're not afraid of the Islamist. We want to wake up before they do kill us. But what will it take for the left that, you know, continues to defend this behavior? What will it take for them to wake up? You know, it's very, very dangerous. Well, we don't have the sheriff yet. But it is time for all of America to wake up. When you look at the fact, in Europe's problem, there's a multitude of aspects of this that are that's creating the problem. One, the border issue, and it's very difficult in Europe. But the political correctness, the fear of offending. And if you go back in some of the testimony up to San Bernardino, there were those who suspected something was going on with this couple. This was a couple that went in and killed several people at this Christmas party. Neighbors saw things happening, but they were afraid to say something. They were afraid to say something out of fear of being labeled an Islamophobe. So they didn't say anything. So as a result, people died. It's time, you know, the old saying, if you see something, say something, the TSA likes to use. We need to not be driven into silence out of fear of offending. And what is happening? I mean, let's look at the facts here of what ISIS, who's claiming responsibility for this, targeting a concert that was predominantly made up of teenage girls primarily. There's no limit to what these people will do. And this is not the first time they've targeted children. You know, somebody said, well, this is an aberration. No, this is not. This is not an anomaly. This is what they do. They've used the Boko Haram, regularly uses children as homicide bombers. Hamas, they do the same thing. I mean, they actually train children. And you can see some of these videos. I mean, Google it and you'll see them. Al-Qaeda, I mean, you might recall this, they actually strapped bombs onto youth with Down syndrome and sent them into markets where they used them as explosives. You know, Gary, in his end of day report, gives a chronology of these things. And this is, they have no regard for human life. And it's interesting, if you look at some of the things that ISIS has said in the wake of this attack, they rejoiced out of killing these individuals, and they called these children crusaders. Crusaders. Folks, this is a battle not of our own choosing. But Western civilization, in part, hangs in the balance, and we have to have the fortitude to stand up and call it what it is. This is one of the areas that I'm very thankful that we now have a president who is willing to call the enemy what the enemy is. And the enemy in this case are radical Islamists who have been radicalized through the Islamic faith and are seeking to force others to submit or convert or die. And to put a Western mindset or a Western worldview on and say, oh, these people, they're a little off their rocker. No, they're committed to this. This is their worldview. It is the opposite of the Christian worldview of the West, where we love our enemy and we win them. Yes, we want to win them over to Christ. We don't kill them. We can't force them. We give them freedom. Total opposite of what we see in Islam. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by a couple of our pastors that are here in Washington, D.C. We'll have a little over 400 gathering here for our annual Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Conference. They'll be joining me here. And we'll be going to your questions a little bit later here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Treasury yields are something I don't talk much about, but Treasury yields see the largest one-day rise in more than 2 weeks. That's pretty interesting. So when the yield on the Treasury bond goes up, it means that people aren't necessarily buying Treasury bonds. So therefore, the rate goes up a bit in order to attract buyers that are looking for income, particularly the 10-year bond. So we're seeing that rate go up, which means or could be perceived as the risk trade or a flight to safety being off right now. Now, this comes on the heels of Donald Trump's new budget, which apparently has raised prospects of higher growth and, yes, some higher inflation, but more importantly, higher growth. And that seems to be offsetting the little bit of fear from the UK bombing tragedy. So that's what's happening, gives us a little bit of insight to the future. But even better than that, more insight, is something coming out of the Netherlands Bureau of Economic Policy and Analysis. And they're looking at global and world trade. And world trade has grown in the first quarter. Now, it has grown in the month of March 1.5%. This is imports and exports combined, 1.5% in the month of March. That makes the entire quarter at a 1.4% growth rate. Obviously, the majority of that growth coming in the last month of the quarter, and it looks like that has been picking up steadily all year. So that's very good news for potential global growth.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. As I mentioned, we've been talking about this for some time. The Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing starts tonight. We've got pastors from across the country, 40-some different states will be here. And this is our 14th year to do this briefing just for pastors. We'll have a number of members of Congress that will be here, other leaders from across the country. And it's a time for pastors to come together, work on strategy, talk about what's happening in their states, take ideas back. It's also a time of just personal reflection, being refreshed, renewed, and knowing that you're not alone in standing for truth and contending for that truth beyond the walls of your church. We're joining me now are two of our state leaders from two of our states in the Watchman Network. Dr. Steve Branson, he's a senior pastor of Village Parkway Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas, and Dr. Mark Harris, who is a senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Brothers, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good
Thank
to see you.
You.
Good to see you.
I'm glad for the invitation.
Well, let's start first with why? Why are you a part of the Watchman Network of Pastors? And Dr. Harris, I'll start with you.
Well, I certainly have been blessed to be a part of the Watchman Network. I think for me, a lot of it came to light in 2000, late 2011 and 2012, when the marriage amendment was running hot in North Carolina. And I was involved in some of the leadership of that. And came to Watchman on the Wall just after that and just was blown away by the things we learned, by the presentations that were made. And, I mean, I truly believe that through the experience that I had my first time, God radically changed my life and set my pastoral ministry on a course that has been different just having experienced this. So I'm honored and excited to be a part of it.
Well, and you've been working with us now for a number of years, spearheaded the effort to organize the state of North Carolina with our culture impact teams, where we have now somewhere around 800 or so sprinkled across the state. And it just so happened that North Carolina ended up being a super swing state in the most recent election, in which we saw an increase in the evangelical conservative vote, which, you know, quite frankly, made the difference in the election.
Well, obviously, I think we saw groups like Family Research Council that were at the tip of the spear, that were out leading that. We saw young people that were part of an effort that Family Research Council helped put together that were knocking on doors, making phone calls, literally 400 young people that were just really making a huge difference in places like Charlotte, Raleigh, the Triad, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point. And it was a real, real effort that I think everybody worked together on. And we did see a great turnout, and Trump carried the state.
And Dr. Steve Branson, your kind of coming to Watchmen was kind of a different approach. You actually found a friend in the fire.
Yes, exactly. In fact, it was the summer of 2013. I just told my wife, I was turning 60 in a month or two, and I was telling her, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to take it easy, ride my bicycle, pasture, play with the grandkids. And then life turned upside down in July of 2013. With Soji Law in San Antonio, and then I went from quiet to suddenly on Fox and Friends two or three times during that time frame, going against the mayor of San Antonio. And then out of that, Sergeant Monk walks up to me one Sunday, and he had just been fired. And so I stood with him, and life turned totally upside down with all the cultural battle that went on. And y'all, in fact, it was a radio program with you back around September of 2013 that eventually helped begin to save his career. It must have gone into the Pentagon, because the next day I had a four-star general sending people to my office. And out of that, some interesting stuff happened, and we eventually, over 6-8 months, were able to get Sergeant Monk back on track. But Randy Wilson and you and others were superb help during that time frame, because I was a rookie at all this.
And now you have a network of pastors. You're our state leader in Texas, and we're seeing a lot of good things happen. In fact, San Antonio's kind of turned around a little bit.
A little bit, and we got a couple years ago, we got 120 pastors together at my church. Charles Flowers, who also works with y'all,
right?
And I, along with Black Robe Regiment Group, we sponsored a meeting, and we blew the establishment of San Antonio away with the election of Ivy Taylor as mayor. We're in the process now. We have a runoff going on June the 10th, and the pastors are already meeting. I have a meeting when I get back, sitting down with pastors to see how we keep her in office. We have somebody that's running against her that's to the left of Julian Castro, if you could believe that. So we're very concerned about that. He's threatened to enforce the Soji laws in San Antonio if getting elected. So he's lit a fire back under us to get all the pastors working hard and fast before the election on June 10th.
Pastors, we're up against a break. I want you just to stand by there, because we're going to come back here in a moment. I got word the sheriff was detained. I guess maybe someone made a citizen's arrest. Anyway, he's going to be joining us here in just a moment when we come back from the break. And then I want you guys to hold around, because we finish up with the sheriff. We're going to continue our conversation about the Watchman Pastors Briefing and the whole outreach to pastors and what it means to those pastors who are out there equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Is it political or is it biblical? We're going to talk about that, and we'll also get their thoughts of a meeting they had earlier with the House Speaker, Paul Ryan. All right, folks, a lot more Washington Watch still to come. Denton County Sheriff Tracy Murphy is here with us when we come back from the break. Don't go away.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Unwholesome television programs and unnatural social agendas. As believers, we use our religious freedoms to take out the trash in the media and society. Even children's magazines are in the crosshairs. Join 1MillionMoms.com and take action.
This is Monica Cole of 1 Million Moms. We need you to sign up and speak up for our children at 1MillionMoms.com. We are making the difference.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, goes the old and oft-sung song of long ago, but still sung in places yet, and should be. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Bad images, yes, pornography does impact and does destroy. Of that, there is no doubt. I'm impressed with a newer book that gently helps parents inform their children that sadly there are pictures out there on signs, magazines, screens, TV that are bad and should be avoided as poison to the heart. Two, the book uses no bad images to make its important point. The book recommended for ages 3 to 6 is entitled Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior Edition. To find out more, call 231-924-4050. 231-924-4050. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. We were discussing the Watchman on the Wall Pastors Conference that starts this evening with Dr. Steve Branson and Dr. Mark Harris of North Carolina. And I'm told we're going to hear from the sheriff here momentarily. So when we get him, I'll just break into this conversation. So I want to resume this discussion we're having. So we were talking about your exposure and becoming a part of the Watchman Network. Let me ask you this, Dr. Harris, from a standpoint of other pastors that are out there. What would be your advice to them when it comes to, you know, becoming a part of a network like Watchman?
Well, I would encourage any pastor to step up and get involved. The network that I find that is so amazing is when pastors are introduced to what FRC does, when they're introduced to culture impact teams, when they're introduced to being a partnering pastor, they're blown away by what they learn about the country's heritage and our history, because many of them have not been taught a lot of the things that they need to know and need to understand. I don't know, you know, we hosted a thing in Charlotte several years ago. In fact, after I attended my first Watchman on the Wall, I was determined that we needed to bring this home to North Carolina. And we did an event and had about 300 pastors that attended that was kind of a local Watchman on the Wall briefing, if you will. And I'm telling you, I was amazed by the number of guys that came out of there saying, this was so inspirational and so encouraging, and I didn't know this and I didn't know that. And those really, that meeting became the impetus for us to be able to start building a network through North Carolina. I mean, there's 100 counties in North Carolina.
Right. I've been to all 100.
You've been to all 100. Right. That's right. Can you imagine what can happen if you have even 10 churches per county that are working together and partnering together? What a difference it would make in our state.
Dr. Branson, your first exposure, when you came to Watchman, you're a recipient of the Watchman on the Wall Award for your stand there in San Antonio. But it's not like any other briefing that you would go to as a pastor. I mean, it's not a political rally, but it's a much different type of rally. I want you to hold that thought. We've got the sheriff here. Hey, folks, earlier we're shifting a lot of gears here today. We're going to return to our Watchman discussion here, but we've got the sheriff of Denton County, Tracy Murphy, in Texas. Sheriff, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I thought maybe you got detained. I didn't know if it was a citizen's arrest or what, but we're glad you're with us. I was talking earlier in the program about your post on Facebook, essentially a warning to not just your constituents, but you did make very clear that those are the ones you're accountable to, not the media. But you were warning people that if we don't get away from this political correctness, it could prove to be deadly.
Hmm. Absolutely, it can. It's you want to bend over backwards to cater to people's feelings, and it makes us complacent, and it makes us fearful of being called names by different groups of people, and it's going to be a killer.
What kind of response have you gotten to your statements?
You know, it varies. I'd say 99% of it's been extremely positive. I've gotten emails from England, from Canada, from all over the United States, and I would say, you know, the vast majority is extremely positive. And then, of course, you've got, you know, the folks that want to send you profanity-laden emails and Facebook posts and call you all kinds of names, but those are in the minority.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then I want to stop on that for a moment and let people realize those who oppose never come at it from a logical, argumentative, just saying, hey, did you think about this? It's always just these attacks, profanity, attacks. There's never anything rational about their arguments.
No, there's not. And that's one of the reasons that so many people are afraid to speak up. You know, good conservative people, they don't want to be labeled a racist. They don't want to be labeled a Islamophobiac. They worry about that, and then they try to defend themselves. And once you try to defend yourself, well, then you just keep digging the hole deeper and deeper. And these folks know that. They know it's an attack that they've used on issues forever. If you disagree with them, you're going to be attacked.
Well, that's the left. That's how they operate. That's rules for
Absolutely.
Radical. That's straight out of their manual. And you've just said, look, I don't care. Call me what you want, but I have a responsibility to protect the people that elected me, and I'm going to draw attention to this.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm going to tell people how I feel, and I'm going to give them, you know, true hard facts on why I feel that way. And you know, I'm not going to back down.
Now, not everybody liked your post. The Council for American Islamic Relations said your post was Islamophobic. Now, does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. It draws attention to them and their cause. And you know what? If I wish that they would come out as strongly against these attacks in England as they came out against me, but that's not the case.
So what do you see, Sheriff, as the way forward here? Because clearly the threat is growing. It's not diminishing in any way. But yet we still see, although there's a hope with the election of Donald Trump, in my view, there's a chance that we could come to terms and stop the foolishness of this political correctness and identify the threat and stop the threat.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's no secret the president is one of the most non-politically correct people to come around in a while. To me, it's refreshing. And there is hope. And I hope that if we could get the liberal media off his back for 5 minutes, that he could make a big difference, and pray for him, and we have a chance, but we better take it.
And you speak of the liberal media. You most of the response from the media that you've gotten has been negative as well.
Sure, it has. It has. Some of it is, and they want ratings. They want to cause some controversy. Right. They want to get people to watch, and that's fine. I understand that. But I'm still going to get my message out, and I'm not going to back down.
Do you tweet as well?
I do not. I'm just a Facebook guy, and I was watching TV along with the rest of the world, and was sickened by what I saw. And then when I saw on the TV, they were releasing some of the social media outcries from parents looking for kids and wanting help. And I've got three kids at home, and it angered me, and that's when I made that post, having no idea it was going to go where it was going to go.
Well, I think, Sheriff, I'll just say this. And I spent about 10 years in law enforcement, actually worked in anti-terrorism for a while, so I'm not just sitting behind a microphone. I understand that these threats are real, and I think people find it refreshing. As you talked about, you find the president refreshing, who really doesn't – I've talked to him. He doesn't really – the media can say what it wants. It's not going to change his viewpoint. I think your stand is refreshing as well, that you're willing to stand for what is true and call it what it is. And I think, as long as you keep your perspective, it's the citizens that elected you that you're responsible for and responsible to. That's the way it ought to be. And don't worry about what the media says.
And I'm not going to.
Well, Sheriff, thanks so much for taking a few moments to join us. Appreciate your thoughts on this issue. And again, appreciate you standing up and saying, I wish more would stand up and just call it like it is. Sheriff, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Sheriff Tracy Murphy. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Look, folks, this is what I'm talking about all the time. Get rid of the fear. Okay, and I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm not talking about attacking people. And go look at his Facebook post. He didn't attack anybody. He just stated the facts. Why are we afraid to speak the truth? And this goes not just on the threat of terrorism. It goes on the hostility toward religion and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why are we afraid to speak the truth? We need to speak the truth. Speak it in love, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, but speak the truth nonetheless. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. All right, we're going to jump back over to Watchmen on the Wall. Two of our state leaders are in here, Dr. Steve Branson and Dr. Mark Harris. Steve, we're going to the issue of the Watchmen briefing, which will begin tonight and go to all day tomorrow into Friday. Different than any other type of conference that we do. Not a political rally. But it's not teaching you how to preach. It's just something unique. Tell listeners about it.
Well, when I was here, I guess it's 4 years ago when I came for the first time ever, I was fascinated by it. I've never been anything like that. Of course, I was pretty low-key when it came to all this kind of stuff. But when you find yourself right in the midst of the battle, I wasn't planning on that. But suddenly
you weren't looking for it.
No, that's the last thing I was wanting to do. It was refreshing to know that there are people already out there doing that. And so it's been a really good motivational tool for me ever since. And it gave me great insight very quickly on how to respond and what to do, and gave me even more courage. Because there are times when you're going through the heat of everything. I interviewed Wes Motter for y'all back about a year ago, and I asked him the question, your dark soul of the night. And he was kind of hesitant to do it, but I told him we all have those dark souls of the night when you're involved in this stuff, wondering, I'm not good at this. What if I hurt everybody else's situation and stuff? And this provides the foundation to help us to be able to stand firm in the cultural battles that are going on. And you think, well, it's not going to happen to me. The Kleins in Oregon, Baronelle Stutzman in Washington, Kelvin Cochran. It wasn't going to happen to them either.
Right.
And all of them have paid an unbelievable price. Sergeant Monk, it wasn't going to happen to him, but it did. And so pastors, you've got to be ready to step in with these church members.
It's a part of being a shepherd.
It's the church. You know, I had to write an article for Decision Magazine, and where I got the courage to do what I did. How do you write an article about how you're courageous? You can't do that. And the more I thought about it, what drove me to do what I did for Sergeant Monk was it's humility. And that sounds arrogant in itself, but what I mean is biblical humility is the other person's more important than you. A pastor, when he looks at his sheep, if they're in trouble, he's got to be there. And Watchman will give you the tools to be a good pastor when your church member is going to get hit by these cultural issues. And this isn't one or two stories. They're happening across the nation, right, as you know better than the rest of us. Right. And so if pastors don't do it, who is going to be there for them?
And Mark, you look around the Watchman Network now, over 13,000 pastors. That story is played out more and more and more. Many of these pastors, the reason they're here is because they had no place else to go, and they found themselves – they weren't looking for a fight.
That's right.
The fight came to them.
That's right. And I think the resources they walk away from in this conference over these couple and a half days that we're together, I think they walk out with not only the inspiration that I've got a really good foundation for why I need to be engaged, but the resources they have to inform and equip and to really just alert their congregations and, when necessary, to mobilize them to take action, I think is a very valuable gift that they receive as they're a part of this conference.
Yeah. And by the way, the conference starting tonight will go through tomorrow and on Friday. We've got Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He's the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. He'll be there. Jody Heiss, we heard from her earlier in the program, from Georgia. He'll be speaking. Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri will be there as well. Dr. Michael Brown, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Pastor Mark Batterson, Pastor Jensen Franklin, Dr. Tony Evans, we've got our own General Boykin, myself, and a few others that will be speaking there as well. So a great lineup. And if you're not going to be able to make it, again, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can still participate. We're almost out of time, gentlemen, but this afternoon had a chance to go to Capitol Hill and have a meeting with the House Speaker. Steve, mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I was amazed at the man's heart. I've met him once before, but not close. And just in our conversations, what he shared with us revealed in him, it impacted me. I'm very sincere and very much wanted our prayer. And I got a great respect for the man just from what I saw in those few moments there. He may have the toughest job of anybody in the world right now.
Yeah, you had a chance to pray for him, and you prayed that.
But his reaction afterwards, without saying anything more, I just found it amazing.
Mark, it reminds us that these men and women who serve are human beings.
That's right.
Have feelings, have families, and have struggles.
Well, and it was an incredible reminder to me as we sat there and listened to him and then did have that privilege to pray for him, that the Word instructs us that we're to pray for those in authority. And I think sometimes we see them on a television screen or we read about them in the news and we lose that personal side of who they are. And I think it was just a very important reminder, at least for those of us in there, that we are to pray for our leaders.
Do we not see the power of the prayer in his reaction?
Without question.
Absolutely.
Without question. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us, not for only for the program, but being here for Watchmen on the Wall. And thank you both for being Watchmen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being with us. And again, let me remind you, if you'd like to be a part, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, follow the links over, and you can participate tomorrow. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.